All right, you guys ready?
Guys, I'm Bill. I'm a recovered drug addict and alcoholic.
So,
hope you're ready for a 20-hour open discussion meeting you guys are going to run. Not that funny. Guys, tell you what, man, I was thinking about what I was going to say here for a day. You've had enough of me. I'm going to get right out of the way and let my friends take over. My sponsor, Joe, a couple years ago, man, kind of got me hooked up with some guys in the solution. He hooked me up with a friend of mine up in Atlanta named Larry. And Tarek and I ended up meeting through Larry as well. And all I know is, man, since I started kind of getting with people that are in the solution, I keep meeting more people in the solution. And, man, they're just cool guys, and they have a message, and I continue to grow in this program. And I'm telling you what, I meant it this morning when I said the difference between kind of, you know, reading the book and understanding this program came through weekends like this. And it's always about the work, but, man, it kind of brought this thing to life. And that's my goal, is to offer you something that was so kind of just a huge part of my early recovery, guys like this. And I've had a chance to, I've creeped some of their stories on online. Tarek, he's the founder of a structured sober living environment. He says it way cooler, but called the Launching Pad, up in the Atlanta area, and on the little fireboard area of his website, there's a bunch of different speakers, and I got a chance to kind of listen to him. I'm wondering. I want to see what this, you know, I know we're talking about bringing a big book study here. Let me hear a little bit about him. And I creeped Brandon the other day, and neither one of you guys look like what you sound like. You probably may have heard that before, but I think that may happen a lot. But anyway, and I started listening to Tarek because I really love the message and kind of his perspective through his experience and exposure to this program and the work he's done. And it's just so cool. You guys took time out of your lives to be here with us, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. I'd like to introduce Tarek and Brandon. Let's give it up.
Thanks, Bill.
My name's Tarek. I'm a cocaine addict and alcoholic. I want to thank each and every one of you for having us out this weekend. And you know, when I first met Bill, I came down here to visit. It was work-related, and I sat down, started having some discussions with him and Roscoe and a couple other guys. And as you travel this path, you meet people that you immediately start acting like you've known each other for a while. And we haven't, but because of our like-minded approach to the way of life described in the big book, we hit it off right away. And as you go to meetings and you become a member of Alcoholics Anonymous or Cocaine Anonymous, the fellowships we're going to reference throughout the course of the weekend are big book based. Okay, so not all the 12-step fellowships are big book based, but Cocaine Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous are. And there's the club or the fellowship, and then there's the club within the club. And Bill is part of that club within the club. He wants to help end suffering. You know, I can tell when I talk to him on the phone, he wants to see you guys get well. And if you get well, you'll have a lot of company in the rooms of AA and CA. And if you want to, you know, stay sick, you'll have a lot of company in the rooms of AA and CA. That's just the reality of it. But relapse is not part of recovery. It doesn't have to be. And so what we want to do over the course of the weekend is we want to describe the mechanics of working the 12 steps as outlined in the big book to catapult you into living the way of life described in the big book. So the big book says the spiritual life is not a theory. It must be lived. So big book studies in of themselves will not generate the vital spiritual experience. But if they get you excited about doing the work in the big book, I'm all for it. And that's what we're here for this weekend. We want to get some of you excited, because the reality of it also is that we're not here to talk to everybody. Some of you, a seed will be planted. Some of you are going to completely begin to look at things from an entirely different angle. And some of you are going to forget everything we say as soon as we're gone. That's what's going to happen. I don't know what you're going to experience this weekend, You know, Brandon's probably going to ask you guys to consider some questions after this session to set your own vision and intent for what you want to have happen this weekend. And we also, at some point here, this is an introductory session, but we will begin to work with this prayer called the lay-aside prayer. And a lot of the noose around our necks is all the information in our head, especially if you've been to places like this over and over. You begin to have ideas about how things are supposed to look. So we use this prayer in which we need some assistance in having an open mind so we can have a new experience with what the big book describes. Okay, we're not here just to give you some information. We're here to relay our experience to you. And the questions I hope you ask yourself over the course of the weekend is, did I think like that? Did I ever feel like that? Did I drink like they're talking about drinking? Did I use like Tarek's talking about using? Do I believe this program can work for me too? These are the questions to ask yourself over the course of the weekend. Now, back to meeting Bill. So there's a description and on page 164, and I want to read it. Abandon yourself to God or your higher power or the Creator or the Spirit of the universe or creative intelligence as you understand that concept. Admit your faults to Him or that concept and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as we trudge and walk with purpose the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Those are the entrance requirements for the fellowship of the Spirit. They just gave us a narrative of what's required for us to live this way of life. But if you go to meetings and you don't put into practical application the way of life described in the big book, all you're going to experience is the spirit of the fellowship. The big club. We're here to talk about the little club. The club within the club. Around our little family, we got a guy named Mike. You know, there's a big cake. You can have the whole cake if you want it. Or you can be a crumb snatcher and just hang out on the periphery. And we all know if there's a herd and they have members of the herd that are hanging out on the periphery and the wolves are hunting, everybody hanging out on the fringes is going to get picked off by the wolf. So our goal here is to show you how to stay in the middle of the herd. It's key. It's vital. It's necessary for you to attain permanent recovery. A lot of what we talk about this weekend will sound paradoxical. It doesn't make sense out in the real world for me to say, if you want to keep what you have, you got to give it away. It doesn't work out in the real world. The more hopeless you are when you arrive, the more hope that you have. That doesn't make sense. We're the only society on earth where you show up a big shot and the goal is to work your way up to servant. These are all paradoxical. They don't work out in the real world. The steps, and I don't know, they don't make sense intuitively. You know, when I first showed up, these steps were supposed to transform my life. Doesn't make sense. You know, everything that did make sense didn't work. And so I finally got to a place where I had two alternatives. I was going to die the addict death, the crackhead death, or I was going to learn how to live life on a spiritual basis. And I believe that statement in our big book that says you must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Here's the question, though. Do you believe you're dealing with a life and death errand that you're on right now? That's what's going on here. That's a question you have to answer for yourself. Is this about life and death? Or is it about getting the money back or the girl back or the job back or the family back? Because that means you have more than one or two alternatives that you're working with. This process is only effective when there are two alternatives. And if you want to live and breathe, there's really no alternatives. You're going to live a spiritual basis of life. And so that period of time where you're exhausting and burning every option to the ground, we call that step zero. step zero is that wonderfully horrific time between your last drink or and drug and the time that you finally make a commitment to work the 12 steps, to go through with the program of action as outlined in the big book. So for me, I spent 3 years going in and out, and I had more than two alternatives. It wasn't until the last flicker of conviction was snuffed out that I became willing to believe that a spiritual solution would solve all my problems. Not just the crack cocaine and not just the whiskey problem, all my problems. But that meant that I would have to set several lifelong conceptions aside, because what happens here doesn't make sense. It contradicts the way I've lived my entire life. And at my core, I don't want to do it. So there was an opportunity laid at my feet when I arrived here. We call it a window of grace. What I call it is the period of time within which the liar that's inside of me, everyone sitting in this room tonight has a voice that lies to them, and you believe it. I have it too. So the window of grace is the time when that liar goes dormant. His voice has no weight. The deal is, though, he's just lurking, and he's going to reemerge. He's going to assert himself on the scene once again. And that's the period of time you have to work these steps. And that's when that window closes. The liar comes back, and we're done. I want to read something out of this book. It's called 365 Tao. It's one of the books I've been working with on and off for probably 6 years now, and the reading is called Opportunity.
I have the book too. Mine's been taped together because it's fallen apart, and it's earmarked and dogged and everything. So he's going to read it, but the books that we get into, we practice with them, we work with them, we dive into them. And the ones that don't work, they get cast aside. And the ones that continually work, we continue to work with. And so when Tarek reads this to you, it's not just something that sounds cool. It's something that Tarek has experienced in his essence. And hopefully it will challenge some of yours.
Thanks, Brian.
A green bird darting in the night. Will you be able to see it? Will you be able to catch it? Cling to spirit like a shadow. Move without a shadow. Times of repression and adversity like addiction cannot last forever. How is the transition made to new and better situations? In the midst of great difficulty, a tiny opportunity will open, if only by chance. You must be sharp enough to discern it, quick enough to catch it, and determined enough to do something with it. If you let it pass, you will be filled with regrets, and it may not return. Stick to spirit like a shadow. Wherever it goes, you go. As soon as it throws something your way, catch it by sheer reflex. It is like the bird. If you try to catch it, you will miss. If you are always with it, moving at its speed, as much a part of it as its own shadow, then it's easy to seize it. When you act, however, you in turn must have no shadow. In other words, what you do must have no messiness, no leftover consequences, nothing that will haunt you later. That is one of the ways in which you avoid creating more bad situations for yourself. Your every movement is traceless. This is the opportunity you have in front of you. You've been brought here to a place, to a safe environment, so you can be separated. You have been separated from your drugs of no choice. We'll explain that later. And you stand in your window right now. What are you going to do with it? The big book says if our ideals are grounded in a power greater than ourselves, our lives will be recreated. Do you believe that? Do you believe your life can be recreated? When I was in your position, I'm a product of two trips to treatment centers, inpatients, two sober living, and one halfway house. And the last time I was tired, I was very tired. If you're tired, this is good. If you feel lost, this is good. If you don't have any ideas about what to do, this is good. Because if you don't feel lost and you think you've got some good ideas, then you think you can do something to fix the problem. So these are questions. We're going to ask you a lot of questions. We don't want to tell you a bunch of stuff this weekend. We want to ask you questions, and we need you to recall your memories in order to answer the questions. I don't want you using our memories. We're going to share our memories with you, but it's more effective if you bring your memories to the table. Okay? That's very important because it will personalize the experience for you. It'll turn the big book into a book about you. All we're going to do this weekend is guide you through that process. Both of us enjoy doing things like this. I believe my purpose in life and my job, my spiritual job, is to help end suffering any way I can. I work in this industry, and there's a big part of me that thinks they've got it all wrong. The spiritual experience and the conversion experience is downgraded. Everything under the sun. We want you to do this, 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 and this. That stuff that's going to generate the vital spiritual experience, yeah, you do that on your own time. You go to these meetings, you get a sponsor, you work the steps. No one educates you on what is a good meeting, what is a good sponsor, how do you work the steps, hold me accountable, what experience am I having? That's what we want to share with you. This is available to everyone. And it's a process that works 100% of the time if you put the 12 steps into practical application on a daily basis in your lives. I've watched it for 9 years. It did it with my own life. I thought I was going to smoke crack cocaine and drink whiskey until the day I left this body. So to me, it's unexplainable to why I have almost been graced with 9 years of clean time and sobriety. And it absolutely amazes me. I was a daily crack smoker for 4 years, and before that a cocaine user. And so the addict life had become the only normal life for me. And interestingly enough, all those years of doing what I was doing, I was looking for fellowship and a sense of purpose. And this is what I find here. Fellowship and a sense of purpose. I feel useful all the time. I don't feel separate from, because I'm very engaged in this process. And so that's what we want to do this weekend with you is share our experience. I hope that over the course of the weekend, you will open yourself up to asking us questions. We love questions. And asking questions is a very effective way to communicate. Because you're not telling anybody anything. You're just asking a question. And hopefully you reflect on your personal experience in order to answer the question. We're also going to discuss some myths this weekend. Brandon may get into some of the myths. But we're going to share with you why we believe we're recovered. The symptoms, I no longer suffer from the symptoms of alcoholism or drug addiction. I live in a recovered state. I cannot hide behind being sick anymore. If I lie, I'm just a liar. If I run roughshod over you, it's because I'm an inconsiderate son of a bitch. If I steal something from you, it's because I'm a thief. It's not because I'm a sick, recovering addict. I've recovered from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. The ongoing recovery is from the internal broken condition. And that's going a little bit deeper than we want to get into right now. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I'm looking forward to getting to know some of you. There's no way I'm going to remember all your names. But I will remember many of these faces over the course of the weekend. And with that, I give you my friend here, Mr. Brandon.
Hello, everyone. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Brandon. We've got kind of an outline format kind of thing, and Tarek and I, we have very busy lives, and we talked about getting together and reviewing kind of a strategy for the weekend and kind of what we were going to hit, what we were going to approach, what we were going to go through. And at least my God's kind of a funny God. He has a way of changing my plans and making things turn out the way that they're supposed to. And so we've been too busy to really meet. We just spent three hours in the car where we had a perfect opportunity to discuss what we're going to be doing here tonight. And we ended up talking about God and concepts and all sorts of other stuff. And we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about tonight. So it's kind of going to go all over the place, I think, for a little while. We'll kind of focus it down in. But start off, ask you guys a couple questions. Who in here is an alcoholic?
Your people.
Who in here is an addict? Who thinks that they're both?
My people.
Okay. We're going to challenge that question this weekend. Some of you are alcoholic. Some of you are addicts. Some of you are only alcoholic or only addict, but not alcoholic addict. There are the select few that are both. But that's a lot rarer than what our society perpetuates to us. They throw it all in the same place and think that it's the same thing. I mean, we're all in a room together. We must be the same, right? But the identification piece is extremely important. I am a member of Cocaine Anonymous, but I am not an addict. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am an alcoholic. Those things are clear to me. There's a huge difference between the two of them. Who in here thinks that they had a choice to stop drinking? So usually we go to places and have these conversations. There's a bunch of people that want to argue with us, which is fine.
Ask the flip side. Who thinks they had a choice in picking up?
Who believes they had a choice in picking up? There we go.
It's okay. It's okay. Those are the ones that are telling the truth. We're going to challenge some of that stuff, too. Who thinks that just putting the drinks and the drugs down, life's going to get better? Okay. Who in here already has their God figured out? Okay. One of the considerations that we'll challenge you with, and kind of a lot of what we're doing here this weekend is experience that we've picked up through one thing, two things really, our own experience with sobriety and with sponsorship. And there's a lot of things that we've identified don't work. There's a lot of things that we identify do work. There's a lot of ways for us to connect with you at a deeper level that you don't understand what we're doing, but we're connecting with you on a deeper level. And so as we go through the book, I encourage you not to just underline things, not just to write what we say, like Opportunity talked about, but what do these things mean to you? If we say something and it bothers you, write it down. It's probably the doorway to an answer to a much deeper truth than you ever had concept of understanding. The things that I'm most resistant to are the things that I'm going to fight the hardest. And my ego will get involved and it'll try to fight it and it'll try to tell you that that's not true and that I've been taught this, I've been taught that, I've been taught that. What if everything you ever learned was wrong? What if the limits of where your life can go are so incomprehensible to you that if somebody were to explain it to you, you would have to laugh because that's not possible. But then you come across people that it seem like they maybe have some of that stuff going on with them. So write the things down that, that we challenge. Write the things down that, that touch that part of you that just don't sound right. When we say ask us questions, we mean ask us questions. Because there's a certain element of spiritual consent that happens between two entities, us and you, is that we have no idea what your spirit, what your soul, what your true self needs to reach its highest good. We have no idea what that is. Now, because I feel like we're pretty in tune, we might pick up some of that stuff from you. But at the same time, we might not. And so it's through those questions, it's through those statements, it's through the conversations that we get to know, oh, we're going completely wrong direction here, and we need to retool our thing. We're not experts at this. We're not professionals at this. We both have very full lives. You'll hear more about that when we talk a little bit later. But we're here because we feel it's our duty. It's our duty to pass along what was so freely given to us, and so. There were plenty of other things I could... How many people were here? 54? So 5 years ago, somebody says, Brandon, on the weekend of June 23rd through 25th, you're going to be sitting in front of the room of 54, 55 addicts and alcoholics explaining to them your experience with getting sober. And I would be like, why? Why would I do that? A little over 5 years ago, I'd probably say, well, why would I want to be sober? And so, we need you guys to interact with us. We need you guys to challenge us. We need you guys to write down the things that disturb you. We need you guys to write down questions that are generated from that self within you that you need to answer for yourself. Because if you're just taking notes, you're going to have an experience. You might get excited about what the book says, but the chances are you're not going to be elevated in any way, which then takes you out of this place, out into the world in the same flat manner that you were before, and you'll be right back at it. The only way that I've identified to have a meaningful existence is to elevate the frequency of my life to a level that it encourages me to continue upward. If I just stop and stay where I am, I'm moving backwards. I'm rolling down the hill. Want to read something to you. It's a little bit long, but bear with me. It's a reading called We Buried Him Yesterday. The county coroner had published the required notices and the next of kin for the next of kin, and nobody claimed the body. It was just myself and his sponsor, not even a preacher. The county doesn't pay for those. Not much of a send-off, and not the one David had asked for. A cheap coffin, a backhoe digging a hole, and that was it. Another old AA gone. He had been sober over 20 years, and in AA over 30. A stern and rigid man who tried to soften his edges and never could. He was a loner, an isolated man at the edge of life's good things. He hung in there, and in the end, hung himself. I don't know why, I can't know. I know there had been a diagnosis of senile dementia, and I know that the doctor had added cancer to the list. But I've seen AAs deal with such things before. I don't know why David decided he couldn't. It isn't the first time I've been through this in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've known several over the years who just up and walked out life's door one day. Sober, but not happy. Sober, but not at peace. Sober, but they died of alcoholism. Our disease does not need us to drink in order to kill us. I wish more folks knew that and appreciated it. Alcoholism and drug addiction are the only diseases that are capable of fighting back, of taking care of themselves, and of emerging in new places and in new forms when it isn't properly treated. That's because of the spiritual malady. Most people think it has something to do with prayer or with God. It doesn't. It has to do with our spirits, that force which animates, motivates, and propels us. As an alcoholic, my spirit is ill. It is flawed. My character, or basic nature, doesn't work right. At its root is a fundamental and irresolvable insecurity, a hole that can't ever be filled. It is an instinct run rampant, and in desperate need of acceptance and love that cannot be met. It hurts. It fills one with fear. The selfishness and self-centeredness of the alcoholic and addict live here. We are totally preoccupied with what is going on inside ourselves. Anyone? The slings and arrows of our experience, warped by this need, drives us to the fringe, and the voices and the committees in our heads keeps us there. We are obsessed with ourselves, and from this condition of mind, the insanity of feeling gone haywire, we become self-medicators eventually. We discover alcohol or drugs or something else, and this quiets the voices and provides the relief we've never been able to find in any other way. It isn't any wonder we drink or drug the way we do, and some of us don't develop an addiction. In attempting to meet the crying demand of our spirit, we become ill. We develop other malformations of behavior and suffer in 100 different ways. God broke David's obsession to drink, but I don't think David ever truly understood his disease. I say that because I watched him struggle with those old, unresolved issues of his heart for years. His rigidity, coldness, aloofness, isolation, and difficulty with other people were a reflection of the pain in his heart, of the disease of alcoholism gone deep inside and still active. Alcoholism didn't need David to drink in order to continue to try to kill him. And in the end, it succeeded. In the end, instead of being self-abandoned, David abandoned hope and discovered a bitter end. Our recovery from alcoholism through the steps must be a threefold process. It is not one-dimensional. When we say in AA we have a triangle, recovery, unity, and service, we mean it. In working these steps, I clear a pathway for two purposes. First, to come into a group of human people and away from the fringe of society where I have spent most of my emotional life. Secondly, discovering belonging through service to people within that group. It is only the entire threefold process that heals. It is especially true for those of us who suffer from the spiritual malady to a great degree. Perhaps the 12th step says it best. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, recovery, we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics, service, and to practice these principles in all our affairs, unity. You see, I cannot hold back. I must continue to suffer that shyness, aloneness, that overwhelming sense of self in my affairs. I must get involved in a group of people to practice these principles in all my affairs. Only the total approach is healing. Anything less is a little more than driving my disease deep, and if I do that, it will continue eating away, trying to destroy me. It destroyed David. This is a memorial to an old AA who gave it his best shot, and I think David ended up on the plus side. It wasn't his fault. He seemed to have been born that way. There were a lot of old ideas about self that David could never muster the willingness to let go of. He is at rest now. But it says somewhere that no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. David cannot speak to his experience any longer. I'm speaking in his memory. And I think that if David could talk to us today, he'd say, understand your disease thoroughly and work the complete program of recovery. So that's what we're dealing with, guys, is we're dealing with this thing that leads me back to the most insane act that I've ever done in my entire life, which for me is from a completely sober state, knowing all the wreckage, knowing all the things that that alcohol has done to me and for me in the past, and take a drink. That's the most insane act I can ever commit ever in my life. and for those addicts to go and do a line or a hit or something like that is the most insane thing from a completely sober, clean state. So we hear these things in meetings all the time. We like to call them jingles because they're these... It's what the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous throw out there because they sound good. And sometimes they repeat them as mantras. Sometimes, you know, they kind of sing them and we, you know, can do all sorts of things with them. And they sound really, really cool. But the thing that I like to do is ask people, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Meeting makers make it. What does that mean? Well, meeting makers make it. Well, what does that mean? Well, meeting makers make it. You challenge people on some of these questions, they can't answer them. What do meeting makers make? Meetings. They don't stay sober. They just make meetings. Keep coming back. What does that mean? It might mean go out there, try it some more, and come back. Go out there, try it some more, come back. I've seen that not work. I've seen people die with that, of keep coming back. It's implied that you get another chance. Somebody in this room, this is your last shot. You go out that, you go out those doors, you go do this, that's it. And for some of you, that might be okay. Because to live on a spiritual basis, or to be doomed to an alcoholic or addict death, that may look the same way. Spiritual basis may look like death to you. So death might be okay. You have to question, one of the biggest questions you've got to ask when you sit down with a guy that you're sponsoring is, do you want to live? Not the way you've been living. Do you want to live? Because if you don't, what are you doing? Because I can tell you from my own experience, that desire to die was part of the necessary element to get me to the point where I could actually surrender. That desire for death. That thinking that the kids, the wife, the family, the job, none of that stuff. It helped for a long time. Helped kind of get me from going completely haywire. But there was a particular night where that didn't matter anymore. And sometimes people have to get to that point. And then when they become a failure at living and a failure at dying, they realize that, well, I have to do something different. And so, challenge us on those questions. And one of the big challenges that I will leave you with is that if the way that you're living or have lived in the past seems acceptable, how's that working for you? If the way that you've tried sobriety before seems adequate, how's it working for you? Is there more? Do you believe that there's a power greater than yourself that loves you infinitely more than you could ever possibly imagine, that has the ability to transform every area of your life? Do you believe that maybe this power that maybe created everything, you know, including bugs and flies and mosquitoes, and that in all of our human power, we've not been able to reproduce from nothing anything, not a single living element of anything, why would I trust my human power over this power that has the ability to do all this? It seems rather vain of me to think that I must have all the power that can get me sober. It seems rather vain of me to think that this power that has the ability to do all this might not actually have some interest and saving my life. So, I don't know. Is that where we stop?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what we're about. We'll have a little more fun with this. And thanks for being a captive audience.
We'll see you guys after dinner.
Hey, you got a good quick. This is going to be a really good kitchen crew minute to kind of do what you do. Just kind